Blog Talk Radio. Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny for Monday, February the 18th, 2013. I'm your host, Lisa M. Saunders, coming to you live from Baltimore, Maryland, as I will be doing every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This broadcast is being sponsored by Masterminds LLC, inspiring and empowering people to achieve their destiny. Once again, we have another very special show for you this evening, and I am pleased as usual to have co-hosting with me Miss Teresa Hamilton, who is the CEO and founder of Making It Happen Incorporated, transforming your dreams into reality. So hello, let me see if I can get her mic to work here so we can say hello to Miss Teresa. Hello, Teresa, how are you?
I'm doing very well, Lisa. Happy to be on yet another show.
Well, we're happy to have you. I think tonight is also going to be very powerful and empowering.
Yeah.
We are excited about the show this evening. The topic is He Prepareth a Table. He Prepareth a Table. So for those of you, tuning in via the computer, please click on the follow button on the left-hand side of the title so that you can receive updates on upcoming broadcasts, and follow us on Twitter at LYSE101. That's at LYSE101. We are now available as a podcast, and it's free, so please go to iTunes Store, click on podcast and type in A Date with Destiny. You will also receive future episodes as well as being able to take us with you wherever you go. And you can send me a message through this site. If you would like to become a sponsor or to get more exposure for your literary work or business. Also, if you have been working on something, a project or a hobby or something that you've just taken interest in, whether it's business or in your personal life, and haven't seen the results that you have been wishing for, results that you've been expecting, like a breakthrough in some area, and you're frustrated because it doesn't seem to be happening as you were expecting it to, so send me a message. And I will consult with you to see if a little extra coaching will help you to get there. You can send a message through my Facebook page, facebook.com/A Date with Destiny 101, or you can leave a message via my website, info@yourdestinyawaits.net. So now that we've got all of the preliminaries out of the way, Teresa, how have you been all week?
Oh, I've had actually a very good week. I've been just feeling good and enjoying the little bouts of sunshine here and there. So I really can't complain. I've had a real good week.
Yes, the last week has been good, and time is flying by. I mean, March 20th is the first day of spring, so I'm looking forward to that. And I believe on March the 10th, if I'm not mistaken, is it March 10th? Is daylight savings, so we spring forward, and that's always an exciting time. So I'm looking forward to that. You
and
know,
also,
we talked. Go ahead.
I hate to interrupt, but if we go
back.
March 8th, I wanted to talk about the bond gathering. as well.
Oh,
I don't know if you wanted to mention that. But Lisa and myself will be presenting the Law of Attraction here in Baltimore. Please check out Bond Incorporated if you want more information on the event and what we'll be discussing. But essentially, we'll be talking about the Law of Attraction, and we will be doing vision boards, and that event will take place right here in Baltimore City on Union Street for any of the locals who wish to take advantage of it.
Yes, and if you're Facebook, if you're a user of Facebook, you can check out the Bond page, B-O-N-D, on Facebook, and you can also go to my Facebook page, Facebook / Date with Destiny 101, and scroll through there, and the information is there as well. So, yeah, Teresa, that's good. I'm glad you brought that up. And I'm looking forward to that, by the way. It's going to be very empowering.
Yeah, I think that's going to be very empowering. And I think it's for women only. I think.
Yeah, it is. It is for women only.
Okay, so it's
right.
Closed to men, unfortunately. But for any women out there who are in the area, please make sure you sign up for that event.
Yes, because the vision boards, I've incorporated vision boards in my life for like the last 5 years or so, and I can't even tell you how they've helped me so much. In my life, and now I'm doing like 2 or 3 a year. So, yeah, it's going to be very empowering. So hopefully, you know, if you guys want any more information, you can go to Bond Inc. on Facebook or my Facebook page, which is Facebook / A Date with Destiny 101. So we talked about how important it is to be in the best physical shape. We can, because it's an integral part of the 3 vital life components, mind, body, and spirit. And as I stated last week in the last couple of shows, we will be doing a health and wellness segment on the first Monday of every month, bringing you sound information on how best to take care of our physical temples. And on Monday, March the 4th, we are blessed to have Mrs. Ernestine Shepherd, who is a 76-year-old bodybuilder. She'll be with us to share her, I know, right? She'll be with us to share her journey about being fit and talk about an inspiration. You know, I'm just entering into week 4 of my training, and I already feel like I have more energy. And I was sharing with some folks this morning that, you know, when I put on my jeans this morning, I have a little bit more wiggle room. So it's working out. I'm excited. Yes, woohoo. And in another couple of weeks, you know, I'll be able to go shopping to buy some new ones. And I can't even remember the last time I've actually, you know, bought new jeans, like in a lesser size. So that's pretty exciting. I'm looking for look, any excuse to go shopping is a good thing,
yes,
right?
Yes. And very good to Em, who did a wonderful job a couple weeks ago on what we need to do to take care of our physical temples.
Yeah. Yeah, so, well, if you're in the Maryland area and are looking for a personal trainer, give Emmett a call at 443-804-1377. That's 443-804-1377, or stop by his website, bodybym.com. He is an excellent trainer and will consult with you to get you started on your journey of becoming more physically fit. So, last week, we talked about abiding in the silence based on the book by Joseph Murphy, and I believe that show was very empowering. We got a lot of hits on that show, Teresa. I was sharing with you the other day, and, you know, my inbox has been flooded. So it's really been – it was an empowering show, and we love to – that's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. Because we are also in our journey in the process of becoming enlightened ourselves. And just, you know, we just enjoy reading the new books that we read, discussing them, and just bringing them forth and just talking about it, you know. So when we do this, the results are just phenomenal. And everybody is not going to get it, and we understand that. But, you know, and we respect everyone's opinion because, you know, we all have them. And so we just enjoy sharing what we share. And I'm very happy to know, you know, when you guys write into me that you all are enjoying it as well. So please keep those emails coming. I really, really appreciate you. So last week, like I said, we talked about abiding in the silence, and I stated that how we should each give ourselves the gift of abiding in silence wherever and whenever we can, because when you abide in silence, you are abiding in the source of all creation, the source of true existence, the source of protection, the source of rejuvenation, and the source of blessing. I also mentioned the importance of reducing noise in our lives and making more space for silence. We can look for ways to do this through meditation, chanting, observing nature, listening to others with tranquility, or simply watching the breath. And watching the breath actually is a form of meditation as well. What is important for seekers is to respect and regularly practice silence. And tonight's topic is He Prepares a Table. Prepare means to make something ready for use or consideration, to make ready beforehand for a specific purpose, as for an event or occasion. And scripture in the Bible, John 4:10 states, and he would have given the living water. And then John 4:13-14, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, I suggest to you that you go back into your Bibles and open it up and read John 4:13-14. I'm going to read it again. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so as we discussed last week, we discovered that the enemies that the Bible speaks about are envy, jealousy, fear, hatred, self-condemnation, and any other negative thought. Living water means inspiration, truth, healing, guidance, or whatever else you need for spiritual refreshment. So we need to begin to drink from the fountain of life within us to combat the enemies. So I'm going to leave now. I'm going to turn it over to you, Teresa, because I want to hear your thoughts. And I thought that the verse in John was very powerful because it talks about the living water. And if you drink that living water, there's a well that will spring up into everlasting life. So you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yes, it's funny, when you read that scripture, I also thought about the scripture in Psalms that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the part of it is that whenever I talk to people, and Lisa, you and I both know we have opportunity to speak with people daily, one of the things that we hear people talk about a lot is they are dealing with a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, a lot of issues in general. And in that dealing, it's just a level of frustration. It's kind of like you're thirsty for water, actually, where you're like wanting some sort of resolution but not knowing where to get it, where to go, how to get it. You're just kind of frustrated. So when it says you will drink water and never thirst, I'm thinking you'll never feel anxiety. You'll never feel stressed out. You'll never not have the right answer. You'll never feel lonely. I just think that that's what that thirst metaphorically means to me, is that he will fill you with such joy and purpose and passion and happiness that you will never feel the need to want again. So that's kind of what comes to mind to me when you read those verses, which I, for my own self, as I develop emotionally, I'm learning each and every day that the more I take the time to abide in the silence, as Joseph Mercy suggested, the more I take time to meditate, the more I take time to pray, the more I take time to thank God for being grateful for all the things that he gives me, the more I take time to care for my brother, that is the time that I feel like I do have that living water where I never feel like I'm thirsting again.
Exactly. And, you know, as you were speaking, Teresa, I had another thought about that, too. It's like when it says that to me, it's saying that we are literally drawing from a well, if you want to picture that in your mind. You know how you see people, you go to a well and they stick the bucket and they stick the bucket down there and they fill it up and they draw the well. Well, that's what we're doing when we meditate. And like, you know, when we go through the anxieties of life, any type of anxiety that we go through, you know, I think a lot of times we forget, or maybe some don't even know that well is there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're always, you know, you hear us, we talk about this a lot where a lot of times we feel like, you know, there's something on the outside of us that we need to fulfill us. And when all of these problems arise in our lives, we look outside for comfort. We're looking for comfort from our mates or our employers or our family or our this or our that, instead of looking within, which is where the comfort comes from, the comforter. The comforter is inside of us.
Yes.
And I have to be reminded, I have to remind myself of that a lot of times, you know, when things come up. And, you know, I have to stop, you know, and say, wait a minute. This is not real. And I have to, and to know that where the answers come from, you're drawing from that well. We have to take our mental, our bucket and draw from what we have inside. And the answers are always there, always.
Yeah. And really, it sometimes doesn't bring answers, but just it's something about
peace.
There is a knowing or an understanding or something that replaces all of your anxiousness or anxiety or stress. There's something it's just a knowing of, like you mentioned, that comforter or God's spirit that is always present with us. Knowing that he's always there, knowing that he will always deal with whatever concerns or issues that we have, that helps us tremendously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very interesting how that works. And we talk to, like you said, we talk to a lot of people on a daily. And we're finding that the stress level of a lot of people is very high, you know, and they're taking a lot of medications, whether it's for high blood pressure or some type of disorder, anxiety medications.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, and really when after I get finished, like, for example, you know, I've coached a lot of people, and, you know, once I get a hold of them, I feel like once I get a hold of them, you know, and start to enlighten them about some of the truths that I've discovered that helps me, then, you know, they're no longer taking, they no longer need that anxiety medication. They're able to, you know, stick it away. Now, if you need it, you need it. No, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, that's what it's there for. But do you know that once you learn the truth about your inner being and how much it can help you find the peace and the joy and peace that surpasses all understanding, you don't need that medication anymore. And that's one of the reasons why, too, you know, we're doing once a month a health and wellness segment, because I find that, and this is, you know, you can Google it and look into, you know, nutrition and exercise and how really, if you start to really, you know, exercise on a regular basis and really watch what you're eating. And that all plays an important part of it, too, because the temple is where the spirit resides.
Yeah.
So if you're not in physical shape, if you get winded just by walking up a flight of stairs, or if you get winded walking from the parking lot to the store, then, you know, your body is trying to tell you something.
Yeah.
And you'll find that once you start to really incorporate that third component, then you, a lot of the medications that you're taking, you won't need some of that stuff anymore.
Yes.
Your blood pressure will automatically drop just by you doing that and like mm-hmm. watching the foods that you're eating. No
yes.
more blood pressure yes. medication.
Yeah, yes.
So I just, you know, the show that we did last week, The Abiding in the Silence, was excellent. And I if anybody out there hasn't heard it yet, you know, I really recommend that you go back and listen to that. And you should get the book. The book is just awesome. You can get it on Amazon just for a couple of dollars. It's really, really a good book.
Yeah, excellent book. And I just think that in general, as you said, as I, even myself, well, I think that I've been through enough. And, you know, as I always mention on the show, my mother was a Bible teacher, so I feel like I had a head start. And she was an avid reader of all things, you know, books, not only the Bible, but just anything related to the Bible and other books as well, philosophy, astronomy, and so forth. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like I had a head start, but even with that head start, there's, in reading his book, I just it was just like, to me, the heavens open in terms of the knowledge and then the power. I felt like there's sometimes books that you read that are just so they impact you in such a way, and that's what his book did for me as well.
Yeah. And, you know, we share a lot, like, you know, with others. And one of the things, again, that I want to stress, because a lot of people are stressed out right now. There's a lot of things going on. The job market is sort of improving, and people are still out there, you know, still not able to find jobs. And that's a lot of stress. That's a lot of stress on anybody. And especially when you have children in school, you have your bills to pay, you still have to live.
Yeah.
But we have actually helped a lot of people, Teresa, in the area of starting their own businesses, finding creative ways to just make things happen. And, you know, when you're going through, sometimes you feel like you're all alone, this has never happened to anybody else but me. And then you know what else we find, too, in talking to people? That some people don't like to share what they're going through because they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, there's somebody out there that you can talk to, and you'll find that once you start talking to people, then their story is going to come out. And when you hear their story, sometimes their story is worse than your story. And you're like, oh, my God.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, because we have a monthly meeting. Tell us about, talk about the MIH meeting that we do once a month, Teresa.
Yes, for anyone who's interested, we meet once a month at Applebee's on Ricestown Road in Baltimore, Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And we meet there the third Saturday of every month from 4 to 6 p.m. And we met, and like I said, I got the purpose from the group for the idea from God, and we've been meeting since about 2004. And so when we meet, what we really try to do is help people figure out what they want out of life, clearly defining their purpose and also figuring out what road or path they should be taking. But in addition to that, we also talk to people who are just going through, as Lisa mentioned earlier, some very difficult times. Like we'll meet people who may, for example, have had problems with their health and they need prayer. We've met people who have recently lost their jobs. We've met people who have dealt with some abuse and want to know how to handle it. And not everyone wants to share or not everyone feels comfortable sharing, but for those who share, we really encourage them and we pray for them. And so it's just a really good spiritual group, and we have all denominations coming. At one point we had a Muslim, Christians, and also a Jewish attendee. So it's not all about, you know, Lisa and I feel very strongly about this. God, there is only one God who loves us all. And
mm-hmm.
so we really do believe strongly in having respect for other people's relationships.
Oh, yeah.
With God,
yeah.
And we're all talking about, we can't define that relationship. We know
That's right.
what God what we believe, but if it's not the same as yours, we can't, we don't want to try to force our religion.
No, never.
On you, because you should know it by the kind of life and light we live. And there's so much more to God than we could ever think or know, even within the pages of the Bible, that we reserve the right to respect someone else's belief system. So we are just there just on the basis of we've got God and a God that we love, and we love our brother and sister, and we're there to support and help them. And so each month, no matter how often I've been, I always come away uplifted and inspired by what someone else has said, and I always end up tearing up because of someone else's story and struggle. But I really want to really ask anyone who's especially locally that's out there that really needs a place to come where they can be themselves. And the other interesting piece about making it happen is we have people from all walks, you know, black, white, old, young, bring your kids if you have kids and you don't have a babysitter. We really do do all, because we have a little area for the kids to kind of do their thing off to the side. But the goal is just to really come together as a group and just on our humanness and just share and encourage one another.
Yes, and it is a big encouraging group because I know that for me, when I started coming to the meetings and I was in the midst of beginning my book, and you encouraged me along the way to get that, where are you with your book? And so through that experience, I was able to complete that book, and then we've helped others to complete books and projects, and it gave other people the courage to do so. It gave other people the courage to start their own radio programs. It gave people the idea, you know what, I can do this. Because, you know, we don't come from the mindset of I can't. And I was sharing, it's funny because I remember sharing with you through one of our meetings that, you know, it's like when somebody tells me that I can't do something, that's when that pushes me. It's like, oh, really? You said I can't? And that just makes me, you know, spurs me on even more to do that thing because I don't believe in I can't. And I don't allow anyone that I coach or anyone who's in my presence to use or to believe that they can't. And one of the things that I know, you know, within my company, Masterminds, and Making It Happen, because we've kind of merged the two because we just believe, we have the same beliefs, is that, you know, we believe that you can do anything that you put your mind to. And we understand that life happens. Life just happens. It happens, but it's not what it's not the things that happen to you, it's how you react to the things that happen to you. You know, and if you look at people who are successful, life happens to them too. So why do you think there's some people who are successful and then there are others who aren't? It's because of the mindset. And that's the thing for me, you know, and another thing is teaching people and showing them how to discover what their purpose is and then having them rethink the way they think.
And a lot
because
of that,
it's in our thinking, it's in our thinking, you know, that
and
makes us who we are. Go ahead.
Right, and we read, I think it was by Prentice Thoughts of Things. Is that we really have to really, and I know we've talked about as a man thinketh, so is he, but oftentimes, you know, we are turning over, and mostly, I'm going to be honest with you, when I hear people who are kind of stuck and can't move forward, they do a lot of talking about what happened to them in the past.
Yes.
If you want to move your life forward, and a lot of us have had to deal with things. From sexual abuse to parents who may have been alcoholics or drug addicts to, you know, someone may have raped us or someone may have, there are a number of unfortunate issues and circumstances. We may not have been born with a silver spoon or even a spoon.
Or you felt like you weren't loved in your family.
Unloved,
you know, parents are divorced
unloved.
And, you know, you just don't feel, you know, you just never felt loved. you know, and you felt like, you know, your mama didn't love you, my daddy didn't love me, and and all of these kind of, I mean, there's just so many things.
Yes. And the key is not, even though we all have a history, we've all been disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
If we're human, none of us have managed to get to a point. You rarely run into someone who says, I had the best life ever, and I've never been sad, I've never been unhappy. Everyone has gone through
something.
And I always say, my pain may not be your pain, but I have pain. But the key to dealing with that pain is not, you can look back to analyze a little bit, but the key is keep it in the present. And intention, you know, moving forward in terms of what God has placed on your heart in terms of your purpose. But do not live in the past. And so often I hear people tell me, well, you know, I was molested as a kid and this happened to me. And then my father did this and then my mother did that. And that's their entire conversations. And unfortunately, because they continue to think about all of that stuff that occurred to them in the past, they keep attracting people like that. Then the next thing you hear is that they were abused by their boyfriend or their husband because they're continuously living in the past. And that's the key, I think, is trying to figure out a way. That way is to to understand your past, but to move beyond your past. And how to get there requires exactly what Lisa mentioned, is abiding in the silence, really taking the time out to really be alone and not listen to all the noise and chatter.
Yes, yes. And that statement that in Psalm 23, he prepareth a table. Let's talk about that. You know, that table that we're speaking of is the Lord. You know, we're talking about God. And that table was prepared even before you got here. And I found on my journey that to be so true, the events that have unfolded in my life and where I'm sitting right here at this very moment, I can look back and see how that table was already prepared for such a time as this. And then when we discovered again, which again is just mind-blowing to me about the enemies, because, you know, as you're growing up and you're in church and, you know, you're so churched, you know, and we can recite these things, but what do they really mean? You know, how do we really apply it to our lives? So he prepares the table before us in the presence of my enemies. You know, enemies, we're thinking this man or this woman or this job or this boss or this or this or this, and it's not. That could be further from the truth. Yes, we may have people who particularly don't like us, but, you know, the enemies are the ones that we create in our own minds. And the enemies that the Bible is speaking of that I've discovered, now everybody can, if it resonates with you, that's great. But the enemies are the all the negative thoughts that we have, the fear, the hate, the envy, the jealousy, the especially self-condemnation, those are the enemies. So when we look back in the past and we're always pointing a finger at everybody else who has ever done anything to us, and especially if you're past the age of, let's say, I'm going to say 30s and on up, okay? And hopefully I have some of my younger listeners listening too, because this also applies to you. This applies to everybody. But if you're still sitting in that space and you're blaming somebody else for the situation that you're in, you need to stop. Because he prepared a table before you. He made a way before you even got to the place where you are, and he's giving you everything that you need in order to move on. If you decide you want to move on. And that's another key. We have choices, and we sometimes choose to hold on to that pain and that suffering because it feels so familiar. And when we find ourselves starting to rise above that pain and we're starting to feel a little happy and giddy, we get a little bit afraid. Like, wait a minute, why am I happy? What is wrong? No, I need to go back. And then they start looking backwards again because they're afraid to come up out of it. And then when they do, here's what they say. Oh, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop because I know, you know, when it rains, I'm waiting for that shoe. Well, you know what? If you continue to say you're waiting for that shoe to drop, it's going to hit you right inside your head.
Yeah.
It's going to, like, you know, like, boop, it's going to smack you. Mm-hmm. Why? Because mm-hmm. you are attracting it to you. You are expecting it. And what you expect, whatever's in your heart, whatever a man thinketh.
Yes.
So is he. So he prepares that table. That table has already been prepared for you. So you need to get down, dig deep down inside where it abides, where it resides.
Yes, 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 yes.
And learn about what it is, the power that you have already been given that has been prepared before the fear, before the anxiety, before the desperation, before the self-condemnation, before the jealousy, before all of those things. It's already, a way has already been made. The table has already been set.
Yeah.
Okay.
And part of that, sorry to cut loose, but part of that is just maintaining that connection. And I always tell people that I may not have had the most perfect mother or father, but what I appreciate from both of them is they taught me about God. And as long as I maintain that connection, I was okay. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I always felt that he would guide and teach me, and that through those difficult moments, like you said, he's already prepared the table. It's already done. The work is already done. It's now up to us to believe that the work is done and maintain that sense of self and the God self that resides in all of us.
And, you know, moving forward in that psalm, when he says, he anointeth my head with oil, the head is what? Where the mind is. That's your conscience, right?
Yeah.
And the head is where we get all the chatter and all the noise. So the when he says he's anointed my head with oil, it's already done. He has placed all the protection, the covering over your consciousness through your subconscious.
Yeah.
So that means your subconscious, which is inside of us, right?
Yeah.
And when it says he's anointed my head, your head is already covered. So therefore, it's up to you to choose what you're thinking about. You have a choice. Those negative noises and thoughts, you don't have to let them stay there. You have the choice and the ability and the power to be bold and tell those voices to shut up, go sit down, you're a liar, this is false, you're not real. If God be for me, who should be against me? All of the things, he's given us all the tools that we need.
Right.
He anointed, our heads are anointed.
Yes, and that it is also a process, because I think what happens with most people is that they know that they shouldn't be thinking these thoughts, but they don't know what to do when the thoughts come. And when the thoughts come that are negative, when you say to yourself, wow, I don't think he loves me, then you're going to replace that with, he does love me. You know what I mean? Or he's not treating me the way I would like to be treated. Then you're going to say, no, he is treating me. Now, again, if you're in a love relationship and someone is verbally and physically abusive, we're very clear on, no, you need to move on and get out of that if you can, given certain circumstances. But sometimes we're always thinking what someone isn't doing for us, and the person has already demonstrated time and time again that they love us by the things that they say, by the things that they've given us, by looking out for our well-being, but we just live in a negative place. So that's the key, is really working, and when you have that negative thought, to replace it with a positive one, and to realize that it is a process. So today, you're thinking negatively 90% of the time. Tomorrow, maybe, it'll be 89%, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So look at it like that, like you're on a continuum, that the goal needs to be, and how well you get there is going to be dependent on how often you abide in that silence. How often do you go to that cup, and dig down in that well for water that God's word has given us that will allow us never, ever to thirst again? And that's
exactly
the key, is that that relationship that we're having is going to determine how well we're doing in those areas. And then we would, that's how we get to a point where we're never thirsty.
That's right. That's right, because you're drawing from the well of the living water. No, the water that continuously flows.
Yeah.
That
yeah,
never,
yeah.
ever runs dry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, even for myself in learning that, it was just an amazing discovery. Because I just, you know, again, we're spiritual beings living a human experience and not human beings living a spiritual. So in knowing and believing that we are spiritual beings, that other side, that human, the flesh, it walks side by side. You can't get away from it.
Yes,
that's another part
right,
of who we are, you know. So where the spirit goes,
correct.
So goes the flesh. So, you know, you're dealing with something that is very powerful. Our egos are very strong. And so it's like, you know, you have to reprogram. We have to reprogram ourselves from everything that we were ever taught.
Yeah.
And, you know, rethink things. And just like it's in the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
You know,
for
those who are set free are free indeed. You know, so to free yourself, you know, you have to abide in that silence. You have to get inside. To learn how you can drink from that well that never runs dry. Absolutely never. And you know what, Teresa? We always say that there's nothing new under the sun. You said that your mother always said that to you. And there isn't. There's absolutely nothing new under the sun. So therefore, if you are truly seeking more joy in your life, more manifestation of abundance in your life, you can have that. It is there. But first, we must learn how to listen to that still small voice that will never, ever, ever, ever steer us wrong. And remember that the table, that table has already been prepared for you. Already. How awesome is that?
And I learned something this weekend, which I had a circumstance where I did not have the best or the most positive relationship with a person. And to be honest with you, they kind of just really got on my nerves.
And that's saying a lot for somebody to get on your nerves.
Because they were so negative. I mean, constantly just attitude and negativity. And I was like, Lord, why did I get stuck with this person? Because, you know, I always come from a positive place.
Yes, you do.
And so I had got all of my little words together that I was going to tell them this and that. Oh, yeah, and you need to do this with yourself. And kind of got on my high horse about it. And that small, still voice said, no, you're not. You're going to keep your mouth shut, and you're not going to say one negative thing to them. And I was like, really? I just really need to get it out. And
I just wanted to blast that
thing,
person.
And the voice said, no, you heard me. No, I said, no, you're going to keep your mouth shut, and you're not going to say a word. And so what ended up happening in this scripture that where he says he'll prepare a place for you, this particular person ended up hanging out with me, and what ended up happening is that person had a word for another one of my friends that I was hanging out with, a word that was positive for the other person, and so much so that the other person said, wow, what you just said to me was life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I realized is that if I had not been obedient, because what if I did say all I wanted to say, and this person was never even got upset with me and never was around me when the other person happened to be around. And I know it's complicated, but it was powerful for me. And then that other person who really needed to hear that word would have never gotten it. And so that is why it is so important to listen to that voice, because you never know what is good, what God has prepared for those that he loves. And that doesn't necessarily mean you. It could mean someone else who could have a life-changing, a life-altering journey because of something else. So it's so important to listen and to obey it.
Yeah, I know what I call obedience. You know, which is one of those words when you hear it, it's like obedience. What? You want to be obedient? But I guarantee you, when you do, you know, you'll be the better person for it, because I can't even count how many times I have ignored it. And each and every time I would get mad at myself. I'm like, daggone it, I should have listened to myself. I should have listened to that voice. I should have listened. Why did I do this? Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then you start beating. But as you continue to grow and grow in wisdom, you learn how to. It's like, nope, you want me to do this? Okay. No, even not even questioning. Yes. Just doing it.
Yes, that is so true. That is so true, because you've seen the negative show up when you don't listen to it. Too often.
Yes.
And now, as soon as you hear it, you don't even stutter. You're like, okay, I'll just have to double down and do it. You know, put my ego aside and do whatever it says. So you're absolutely right, Lisa. That's an awesome way of looking at it.
Look, that daggone ego. You know, that ego just needs to shut up sometimes, girl. Woo!
Yeah, and there's a little crybaby in us. You know what I mean?
Pity parties.
Yes, a pity party is, and some of us enjoy being there. Some of us enjoy being a victim. And you have to honestly ask yourself, do I want to continue playing out this role as a victim? Because it's an unhappy place. It's a sad place to be.
But you know what? It's funny you should mention that, because I'm thinking that brings back to mind another individual that I was working with. In coaching, and that person, what can I say? This person was in a place where it was comfortable for them, and we're talking the negative, you know, every now and then they would be, you know, try to be joyful and perky and so on and so forth, but it would never last that long. And so I can remember one occasion where we were face to face, and I'm talking, you know, to them, and trying to understand where they were. Well, I already knew, you know, but in talking, you know how you're talking to someone, and they're looking at you like, I've heard it all before. I did that.
Right.
I tried that. Nope, that ain't gonna work. I mean, it's no matter what you say.
Yeah,
they have all the answers.
Yeah, but I did that.
Nope. Well, and then the look on their face is like, well, no matter. And this was the look. It was like a look of defiance. Like, I don't care what you say, lady. That's not going to work for me, because I've just tried everything, and whatever you say is just not going to work. And so, but you know what I said? I said, you know what? You're right. It's not. Because you don't want it to. But how can you say, because I did, I tried this and I tried that. I'm like, you know how I know you don't want it to? Because you're still in the same position that you were before. Because I know for a fact that if you've tried these things, really tried them, then you're not going to be where you are right now. The proof is in the pudding.
Wow, that's
powerful. Because at a certain point, then you have to back away, and it's like, you know what? You're not ready.
You're not ready
to receive.
You're
not ready to receive, but I'm going to pray for you.
Because I believe
that you really want to change. You want this. You want to see a difference in your life, but you're not ready. Because any time you're consistently coming back and being combative. You're not ready.
You're not receiving.
You're not receiving.
Mm-mm.
Now, when you're ready to receive, I'll be here. And when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, I'll be here. And then you just have to allow people to be where they are. And it just makes me sad sometimes to see that they would rather stay in that place. Then sincerely try to come out of it. You know, and your ego is going to fight you at every step. It's going to fight you at every step of the way, because it doesn't want you to get better.
It wants you
to be miserable.
It doesn't want to allow the spirit of God in.
Right.
So,
again, I mean, the joy is there for you. The peace is there for you. The abundance is there for you.
The prosperity
is there for you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It all depends on how bad do you want what you want.
Right.
You know, so, and I just said that because I see that often, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, some people just, you know, they're not ready.
Mm-hmm. They're
and they don't believe, and you have to have,
yeah.
you have to have a certain level of belief.
Yeah, yeah.
Go ahead, what were you going to say?
But like you said, some people don't want to get well. It's like,
yeah.
you know, they don't want to be cured. They want, there is a certain lot, and I love, for those of you who watch Dr. Phil, I think this is one thing he does very well, and that is he's always good at assessing that when people don't want to move out of their comfort zone, it's because they're getting some sort of reward. It could be attention. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It could be, you know, people are listening to them go on, or there's something benefit out of it. So sometimes people don't want to move off the dime because there's something, even though it's negative, there's something
yeah.
that they're getting out of that kind of thing and that kind of situation.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're just here just to shed some light and some enlightenment
yeah.
and empower
yeah.
you
yeah.
to just seek. You know,
yeah.
seek that peace and that joy. You know, seek it and you shall find it. It's there.
Yeah.
It's definitely there. You just have to put in some effort.
Yeah.
You have to chill the noise out in your head sometimes.
Yeah.
And again, we've stated that in order to do that, you have to abide in the silence.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing I wanted to share, and I know we're winding down in terms of time,
mm-hmm.
but when I look at people like Oprah Winfrey or even Bill Gates or Mary McLeod Bethune and those types of people, what makes those people great? I believe what made them great is they got out from, they moved away from themselves. They allowed
yeah.
their ego to die for the benefit of others and for their love of people and for the love
yeah.
of others. And as a result of moving their ego aside and tapping into something greater than themselves, they
yeah.
were able to then, which is to help others in a big way, then
yeah.
that wealth, that happiness, that notoriety, all of that then materialized back to them. And
exactly.
that in order to get to that place, and I want to speak to your audience and knowing that there are inventors out there, there
mm-hmm.
are writers out there, there
mm-hmm.
are scientists out there. There are business owners out there. There are great workers who are able to lead corporations out there. And I just want those people that are out there to really rise up and take their proper place, because
mm-hmm.
we were placed here to help one another. And once we can really get outside of ourselves, that is our negative selves, and really understand who we are, and God, He can bring those skill sets and talents out of us like no one else can. And
mm-hmm.
the key of bringing them out is that God doesn't need those talents. We need those talents from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
so
right.
I really would encourage the listening audience to really think about what is that purpose, or what is it that they should be doing that they put or make 1,000 excuses about, and to try
mm-hmm.
to move out of that comfort zone, because as you mentioned, Lisa, God has already prepared the table to handle
yes.
anything that could
yes.
possibly come their way.
Excellent, excellent point. Excellent. I love that.
Yeah.
It's about helping other people, you know, and
yeah.
extending ourselves and not being afraid
yeah.
to extend ourselves to people. Because, again, when you give, you do
yeah.
receive. The more you give, the more you receive. And that is so true. We found that
yeah.
to be true.
Yeah.
yeah. So, you know, we're down to that part of the show. And I will leave you with this. I'm going to read through Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I shall not want. And in the not wanting, you know, he's your shepherd. He leads you. You know, he maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The shadow of death to me means our own thoughts, our fears. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house is us, the inside of us. Goodness and mercy follow. Why? Because it's inside of us. It goes where we go. Our enemies are the ones we create in our own mind. The psalm says, he prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anointeth my head with oil. The head, of course, is where our mind is, and he blesses it with his truth, which is, if God be for us, who shall be against us? Learn the wonders of your subconsciousness and how it works and functions. Your subconscious will respond, and you will be free of all of your fears. So that concludes our show for this evening. I want to thank everyone for tuning in with us. Shout out to my family who are always loving and supporting me, and also to my friends and family on Facebook for listening in. Once again, a big thank you, Teresa Hamilton, for coming on and sharing your wisdom with us. For knowledge is power, and when we know better, we what? Do better. Amen. Also, don't forget to stop by my website, yourdestinyawaits.net, to get some extra motivation and inspiration. And also go to the MIH website, the Making It Happen website, which is MIH group.org. That's MIH group.org. And like us on Facebook at facebook.com/adatewithdestiny101. And follow us on Twitter, Lise, L-Y-S-E. 101. We will be back on Monday, February the 25th at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. And your mission, if you choose to accept it, is take that necessary time to do a true self-evaluation. Seek God and learn how to love yourself first, because after all, you owe it to yourself to know yourself. Once again, I'm Lisa M. Saunders, and thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio's A Date with Destiny. Peace and abundant blessings, everyone.